This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, Dingwai World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Unfair. I don't know. The team already sent a statement. They wanted to make sure, you know, that we appreciate what they did as an organization. I know for some people it's probably not enough. For others, maybe it is. I'm just here like every day, you know, just to talk to you people, whatever you guys want to talk about, you know.
That sound is actually from yesterday. Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, talking about the firing of Dave Dombrowski. And that last part, we touched on this last night, but there was so much going on yesterday. I felt like we couldn't necessarily give it the time we wanted. 617-779-0985. Again, we talked about the firing of Dave Dombrowski last night. Did he deserve it? Did he not deserve it? Obviously, the handling of the Red Sox. And so Cora plays into tonight's topic. And we'll open up the phone lines right away. Again, 617-779-0985. Jim Murray is alongside, as always. Cora, what he said at the end there. Jimmy, maybe we could play it again, if you would. I know I do this to you a lot. But the at the end of the of that statement, right, Cora was talking about the fact that he was out there answering questions last night, just as he does on pregame every single night. And the comment did stick with me for an assortment of reasons, but one most notably. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Unfair. I don't know. The team already sent a statement. They wanted to make sure, you know, that we appreciate what they did as an organization. I know for some people it's probably not enough. For others, maybe it is. I'm just here like every day, you know, just to talk to you people, whatever you guys want to talk about, you know.
Okay, so initially when I heard that, I thought Cora was saying, hey, look, you know, I'm just here to answer questions, okay? And I sort of looked at that and said, what a rotten move on a part of the Red Sox. Firing Dave Dombrowski is one thing. Doing it in the middle of the night is another thing, et cetera, et cetera. The press release, not answering questions about it, not having a press conference is something altogether different. And then, even different from that, is having Alex Cora going out there to do his daily media availability and answer questions and have the players answer questions about it. And initially, I thought Cora wasn't happy about it. I'm just out here to answer the questions. Then I thought about it. You know what he said? He wasn't sort of taking a jab at ownership there. I think I misread this yesterday. I think what Cora was saying was, I'm out here every day. That's what I'm doing now. Don't connect this to Dombrowski. Okay, so that's all I think Cora was doing. But the bottom line is this. How do you not have a press conference? So how do you not, as an ownership, fire the GM and not answer questions? How do you do that? I just don't understand how that works. Like that, how do you hide when you make a decision like that? And you don't go out there and answer questions at all? And by the way, just to be clear about this, I don't like it anymore when Bill Belichick does it. So whether anybody does it, you make a controversial decision, you make a trade, you fire somebody, you trade somebody, you don't come out and answer questions about it, that really is spitting in the face of your fan base. If you ask me, that's what that is. Now, the particulars. Murray, last night when we were on the air, we learned that David Ortiz would be throwing out the ceremonial first pitch at Fenway Park. Do you believe that the Red Sox timed David Ortiz throwing the ceremonial first pitch with the dismissal of Dombrowski so as to bury the story?
Yep. And I don't care what has come out. I'm dug in on that because I think that they've done this kind of pandering nonsense before. And so it felt one of these moves. It's like, oh, everyone's mad. What should we do? Oh, let's call up David. He's feeling better. And thankfully he is after the assassination attempt on his life. Let's have him go out there and throw the first pitch tonight.
Do you believe that they released a story in the middle of the night to bury the story?
No, I am of the belief that and I know I'm probably out on an island on this, I think that they put that out there to try to steal away some of the headlines from the New England Patriots, because
okay.
These two teams have had kind of a measuring contest in the past.
But you believe the fact that they announced it in the middle of the night was plotted?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, so the only reason I bring these up is because there are stories that have come out in the last day or so that indicate that this wasn't some grand conspiracy on the part of the Red Sox to drop the story in the middle of the night and to thus hide it. Amid the Patriots starting their season, raising the banner, beating the Steelers, Ortiz throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. And so before I get to your calls, let me just read you from Sean McAdam today on Boston Sports Journal. Okay? McAdam wrote that the plan for the Red Sox was to issue a release on Monday announcing the dismissal of David Ortiz. Okay? McAdam writes, but that timetable changed quickly Sunday night, according to a source. Dombrowski was spotted on the field Sunday, having taken part in a pregame ceremony. He was then seen leaving the field, cutting through the lower box seats. Somewhere between the stands and Fenway and the GM box, which is on the EMC club level, and Dombrowski typically sits there during games. Dombrowski apparently ran into someone at the ownership level and saw this as an opportunity to press for some clarification on its future. In a subsequent meeting, Dombrowski was told he would not be returning for the final year of his contract and eventually left the ballpark. So, in McAdam's story, he says Dombrowski was on the field. He's on the way up to his box. On the way there, he runs into someone from ownership. They sit down. He pushes them. Hey, what's going on? They say, you're not coming back. And Dombrowski leaves. Okay? After informing Dombrowski of the decision, the Red Sox had planned to keep the news from going public Sunday night and scheduled a press release for Monday. But then some hints of the firing began showing up on social media. In some areas of the ballpark, workers got word of the move and began spreading the news. Fearful that news would break before they could issue the news on their own, the Red Sox hastily began making plans to confirm the news verbally in the immediate aftermath of the game shortly after midnight. The team then issued a press release Monday morning, making the firing official, while also noting that ownership did not intend to hold a press conference. Okay, now, there's also an element here about what Dombrowski was seeking and the range of salary. I'll leave that out for the moment. But the story says Dombrowski was going to be relieved of his duties on Sunday night after he met, well, let me back up. Dombrowski was on the field, ran into ownership, pushed them on the issue. They told him he was going to be fired. He left the ballpark. They were going to announce the release on Monday. Threw a release on Monday. But news started to spread around the park, and the Red Sox decided that rather than it come out that way, they wanted to control it, and so they started telling people about it after the game. Murray, you don't believe really any of that.
No, not really. No.
Okay.
Because I think that they're consistently full of it. But that said, so say that.
No, listen. I'm not telling you wrong. I'm just saying you don't believe it. And honestly, I'm not sure I do either.
But just real quick, though, let me just say, if that is true, they still should have put off the David Ortiz thing, because the optics of it and doing it last night were terrible. You still have home games. Just say you're going to do it next week when San Francisco's in town.
So there's that element, too. And what I would even say is this. Let's say it's all legit. Let's say it's all true. Let's say that everything that McAdam wrote is 100% accurate. And that's exactly how it went down. How do you not have a press conference? How is there no press conference? How do you fire the president of baseball operations for the team in baseball with the highest payroll, the reigning world champions, one of the real sort of standard bearers as franchises in Major League Baseball, right there with, as you said last night, the Yankees, the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Red Sox. Those are really the biggies. Those are the biggest franchises in the game. You're going to fire the GM on September 8th, and you're not going to answer questions about it? You're not going to sit there and sit in front and face the music? And I said last night, and I believe this, and I'm curious as to what fans think. What is it about ownership that bugs you the most? Because let's face it, most of you hate ownership. It's sort of just it's almost an American birthright. You hate ownership. Everybody hates ownership for sordid reasons. But I want you to think about it and talk about specifically these Red Sox owners. Because honestly, they've won four world titles. They've poured a ton of money into this team. They have. And that comes after an era in which they didn't do that. You know, the Yawkey Trust, Duquette at the end started putting money into the Red Sox. Little did we know it was largely because they were going to sell the team. But nonetheless, prior to that, the Red Sox operated like a mid-market club. They did not have one of the biggest payrolls in the game historically. These guys came in and they turned you into a big-time operation and they've won. And yet, the feeling towards Red Sox ownership is largely negative. Now, I don't know if this is the provincial Bostonian thing of we hate anybody who's not from here or what. I have no idea. That's why I'm asking.
I think there's an air of, just for me, there's an air of spinelessness to them. That was proven yesterday. So say, like you said, all that's true. You still don't hold a press conference to own it. It's not just spineless and gutless. It's bad business. Like, that hurts your brand, not holding a press conference yesterday after doing that.
So I can tell you, for me, it's stuff like that that turns me off. I don't get it. We're all big boys here and girls. We all understand how it works. GMs get hired and fired. Managers get hired and fired. Players get signed and traded. They get released. It happens. It's part of the deal. We got over the, what's the word I'm looking for, Murray? The sentimental part of it a long time ago. Right? When Roger Clemens left the Red Sox, everything changed.
Right.
That was almost, that was over 30 years ago. Okay, everything changed. Up until that point, Red Sox players stayed here forever. Now it's different. But you fire the GM and you don't come out and address it? And I don't think it's that tough. How hard is it to have someone representing ownership sit there, other than the manager, who's not part of ownership, sit there and say, look, here's what happened. You can believe it or you cannot believe it, but just to be frank and honest and open with the public and sit there and say, You may not believe this, and that's okay if you don't, but I'm telling you the truth. Here's what happened. We were going to wait till the end of the year. Dave came in, forced the issue, so we had a discussion, and out of fairness to him, because he wanted an answer, we gave him one. And then he left, but word started to leak out around the ballpark, and that's unfortunate. We didn't want it to happen that way. So then we were going to issue a release, but we thought, you know what? That's not right either. We owe it to our fans and to our players and our manager and everyone to come out here and talk about it. So that's why we're here. We'll answer what we can. I can't tell you everything, but we believe our baseball operation has to go in a different direction. Is that hard? Why can't that happen right now? Your team's dead and buried. It's over. And don't give me mathematically we're not eliminated.
No, please.
This team's been dead for a long time, which is why they didn't do anything at the deadline. So that's where I want to begin. 617-779-0985. We'll get your thoughts on that when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporter, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox coming. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fine company. Should he do that? He'll line that one. Scooped. Urshela with the throw across the diamond. And that'll do it. The Yankees shut out the Boston Red Sox 5-0 here tonight. And a Red Sox run of three consecutive American League East titles officially comes to an end with this defeat. Yankees go 14-5 head-to-head against the Red Sox in 2019.
That they're that good and we're that far behind, bottom line. You know, it's just they've been very good the whole season, been very consistent. That's a good team over there, good overall organization. He's run by a great baseball man, and Boone's doing an outstanding job.
So again, the Red Sox have certainly a bunch of off-field issues to address. And certainly they're going through some crisis at the moment with the firing of Dave Dombrowski. And I say crisis in that, you know, it's unclear as to where this whole thing is going. But it is worth noting that last night they were eliminated from contention in the division. They're not mathematically out of the wild card yet, but we all know that that's over too. And so I just thought worthy of mentioning that the Red Sox last night lost to the Yankees. They lost 3 out of 4 to New York. The last time they played them, they got swept in a 4-game series. Overall, 5-14 against the Yankees this year. They get their asses kicked. 5-14. And if I remember correctly, they're 6-9 against Tampa. So they are 11-23 combined against New York and Tampa Bay this year. Just worth noting, and you heard Alex Cora there. And Cora, by the way, has said it all year long, that the Yankees were playing well and they were focused and the Red Sox were not. Cora has said that all year long. So I just want to toss that into the discussion as well. But again, my question to you, given the way the Red Sox handled the Dave Dombrowski thing and the timing is bad for them. When I say bad for them, the timing of this question. Why don't you like them? Why don't you like the owners of the Red Sox? Because again, if you think about it in a purely mathematical context, they've poured a ton of money into the team, and they have won 4 World Series. They snapped the 86-year drought. And yet, every time I talk to fans, they can't stand the owners of the team. And I look at that and I say, where's the disconnect? And to me, it's stuff like last night or 2 nights ago. Fire Dave Dombrowski in the middle of the night, fine. But something about the way the Red Sox communicate with their fan base does not work, and it has never worked from the very beginning. So I don't understand why they can't just sit there and accept the fact that people are going to be mad, but let us try to give you as straight an answer as we can as to why we made the decision we did. Instead, it feels like they hide, and to me, it makes it worse. Frank is in a car. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, first I'll add to what you're saying about the fan reaction. See, to me, I was expecting the firing. I just wasn't expecting it early. And John Henry knew Dombrowski from the Marlins time, and he did what he wanted him to do. So you would expect him to treat him with at least a little bit of dignity himself and kind of say thank you. But that got me thinking, why early? Why September 8th as opposed to the end of the year?
Okay, so Frank, based on the reports that are out there, and again, this was in the McAdams story, and I don't expect everybody here to hear everything we say at every minute, but Dombrowski pushed. He pushed. He wanted to know what's going on, and he's been asking for an extension. He didn't get it. And in fact, this is also in the McAdams story, and if you haven't read it on Boston Sports Journal, I encourage you to do so. McAdams said that Dombrowski was leaving the field after a ceremony on Sunday night. He encountered someone in ownership, decided to push about his fate. They told him he was gone. He left the ballpark, and then work started leaking out. Okay? So once word started leaking out, the Red Sox then, I'm just giving you the McAdams story. I'm not telling you what I believe or what I don't. But this is entirely plausible. Once the news started leaking out, the Red Sox decided to start telling members of the media they had made the decision. They issued the release on Monday. I'll accept all of that. Why wasn't anybody there to answer questions and talk about it? And just as a point of note, McAdam also wrote in his story, Dombrowski had repeatedly told friends around the game that he considered himself underpaid relative to his career accomplishments. He was believed to be paid somewhere in the $2.5 to $3 million range annually by the Red Sox, especially in comparison. And I'm sorry, but that was his salary, and that he was underpaid, especially in comparison to the salaries of the Cubs' Theo Epstein and the Dodgers' Andrew Friedman, both of whom make more than $7 million annually under their current deals. So Dombrowski not only wanted an extension, he wanted a raise. And 3 division titles in a World Series? I don't think that's out of line. Okay, I don't think that's out of line. I wouldn't have given it to him. But on paper, his resume is pretty good. It's good. I always thought he was overrated. So, but the Red Sox, for whatever reason, listen, whatever the reason they want to fire him for, they can fire him. It's their right. But to not come out and face the music, ooh, I think that really hurts you as an owner and as an organization. Tom's in Northbridge.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to use your exact words. John Henry views everything from a purely mathematical context. I think John Henry's the problem. He's a algorithm geek. He can't connect. Fans can't connect with him.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
How do you think Bill Belichick looks at things?
The same way, but yeah, I don't know. Belichick gets a pass, but okay. You know, he's the coach. He's not the owner. He's the coach.
Okay, so no, but you know what? It's really not that different because he's the key decision maker. And you know what the difference is? That Belichick wins all the time. He wins all the time, year in and year out. Although I will say that when the Malcolm Butler thing went sideways on him in the Super Bowl, that turned on him pretty quick too, and I think Belichick makes the same mistake. He spits in the face of his fans, of the organization's fans, and I'm willing to bet deep down that the Crafts don't like the way he deals with the public any more than the public does. But the reason they tolerate it is because he's so damn good he wins every year, and he gets away with it. Corey is in North Smithfield. Good, Corey.
Hey, Tony. Hey, I don't think it's necessarily that fans hate them. I think there's just a dislike. And for me personally, I believe it was when they let Epstein go and then when they fouled up the Lester signing. You know, they lowballed Lester and you know, there was a guy who was tough as nails when it came to playoffs. And they fouled up that whole signing.
So, look, Corey, that might be part of it. I mean, again, I think some things like that over the years have made it worse, that inevitably when there's an ownership group or a management team in place for a long time, they make unpopular decisions and you hate them more and more for it. Or maybe you hate the fact that you don't get a say. Or maybe you hate the fact that they're from out of town. Epstein, to me, feels like he was given more latitude than the owners were when he was here. Maybe it's because he's a local boy. I don't know. Like, I think about it. I'm asking a question, really, because I'd like for people to explain it to me. In theory, we should love these owners. We should love them. They've won 4 World Series. How many of us grew up here wondering if the Red Sox would ever win one? They've won 4. They pour money. They like a bottomless pit of resources into this team. The value of the Red Sox has multiplied by 4 since they bought the club. It wasn't that long ago. The Red Sox are worth over $3 billion. That's good for everybody. All of that's good for everybody. Why aren't they more popular? And I think it's stuff like Monday, Sunday night. And more importantly, I think it's stuff like not coming out and just being frank with your fan base.
Yeah, they act above it. How many times have they done that before?
It's just really not that tough. And you know what? I'll even give you, John Henry's a different kind of personality. Okay? He's different. I mean, he's very analytical. He's very cerebral. And so I get it that, you know, he's not the most telegenic person in the world. He's not media friendly. I get it. So put Sam Kennedy out there. Say, look, I'm, you know, and honestly, I would just sort of own up to the reality of it. John's not comfortable in that setting. He's happy to answer questions by email, but it's not how he wants to do it. We're all big boys here and big girls. We can handle it. I find it stunning that they don't do that. I find that part of it stunning. I mean, to me, that what's fair is fair. You take the bad with the good. And there's a lot of good being an owner and an executive in this town.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I'm very happy here, like it here. Like the people with whom I work. Ownership situations treated me great. How can you not like this situation?
So I just spoke to John when he walked out here, and John Farrell will be our manager for 2017. I've just talked to him when he walked out this door.
You can't believe how many phone calls I got about our bullpen pieces.
Very fortunate. I've been at a table with Tony La Russa and Jim Leland and Joe Torre and Bobby Cox.
He says he feels good. Our medical reports on him are good. We're hopeful that he's a 125-game player at this point.
Oh, no, nothing like that.
I don't think I've ever made a move in my career for desperation. That's not how you act. I think it's putting an urgency, which is significantly different than desperation.
Just a handful of things we heard from Dave Dombrowski over the years. People called about our relievers. Dustin Pedroia is going to be 125-game second baseman. That's what we think he is. Blah, 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 blah. I can't tell you how disappointed I was with Dombrowski as an executive. I thought there was more there. And again, there was a quote in the story by Alex Speer in the Boston Globe yesterday about how he was having a discussion with someone in the Red Sox organization earlier in the year, back in May, and they asked, is Dave creative enough to get us through this? Meaning this challenge they now face with rebuilding the farm system and having to keep the team competitive and at a high level without money or players in the minor leagues. Is Dave creative enough to get us through this? My answer is no. But we've been focused mostly on ownership and the fact that they somehow did not come out and address or take questions on the dismissal of Dave Dombrowski. To me, I just find that positively stunning. And that kind of stuff, to me, is what turns fans against them and hurts them in the eyes of the public, when, in fact, we should be celebrating these owners. They've won 4 world championships here. We never thought the Red Sox would win one. And the number one thing you ask from your ownership, put money into the team. Don't be cheap. And they're not. They're the last thing from it. Really, they just pour resources, and they have the highest payroll in baseball. And incredibly, there are still people at the deadline that call them cheap. Like, you want to say that they didn't want to go the extra $5 million over the deadline, or they didn't want to push it that far, fine. But cheap? That's like it's stupid. Glenn's a native. Glenn, what do you got?
A couple things. One, you're right, they've done great. But what irritates me lately is, after they won that World Series, they all knew in the front office and the ownership that they were going to have these issues with payroll coming up if they didn't want to stay in the luxury tax. And that they signed off on Eovaldi and Sale deals. That just makes no sense. And then they move on from the guy who just executed those a few months ago. Secondly, the other piece of it is, can we just get a general manager that can be creative but also spend money and also develop a farm system?
Well, you had one. You had one. We all know who that was. You had one. Theo was it. And again, so just look at the spectrum. You had Theo, who could develop, but was also ballsy and bold enough to trade Nomar Garciaparra. Okay? Theo had the capacity to do both. Cherington was overly protective of the youth. Dombrowski wasn't protective enough. Theo was the blend. You had it. I told you, if I were the Red Sox, I'd call the Cubs, and I would say, what do you want for Theo? What do you want for him? And then I would call Theo and say 10 years and a piece of ownership, and then get out of his way. Get out of his way. Now, what happened with Eovaldi and Sale? Look, at the end of the day, ownership has the right to say no. But I also don't want ownership making baseball decisions. I've said that a million times. So do you want them making the call? What if they were the ones that said, don't pay Lester? That turned out to be wrong. I want baseball people making those calls. Chris is in Fall River.
Hi, Maz. The thing that I don't like, or I dislike the most about ownership, is quite frankly the way they handle players and coaches and managers on the way out. I find that distasteful. They buried Francona on his way out. It seems like they're burying Dombrowski on his way out as well.
Chris, it's a great
reserve, but
yeah,
they're letting stuff leak out after the fact.
So it's a good point. They play the PR game, right? They're worried about, Jimmy, you're going to have to drop him, please. I think I've frozen. They play the PR game. They're more worried about the image than the reality. And again, I just don't understand why when people make decisions, they don't sit there and say, look, we just thought that this was best going forward. It was time to move on. We didn't want to smear anybody on their way out. But it wasn't working like it was supposed to work anymore, and we wanted to move on.
No, it's like they live in this bubble of no bad news, everything's positive. So it's things like that. Like once they've removed themselves from someone that hasn't lived up to their expectations, whether it's Dombrowski or Francona in the past or any players in the past, it's like, okay, all this stuff comes out about them. And then don't forget like the salesiness of how they've acted since they won that title and helped win that title in 2004. I mean, granted, we're talking about when Larry Lucchino was here, but that... Do you remember the smiling Cody Ross, friendly Mike Aviles letter of the summer of 2012? Like, F off. You're sending that to season ticket holders who pay for 81 games, and you're sending that in a lost season? you know, that kind of stuff. The panda gear when they sign Pablo Sandoval. Like, it's crap like that. I think that most people with a working brain find distasteful.
So
and rightfully so.
But, Mario, I'll tell you what. They have a right to market the team.
Understandably. Right? But there's got to be a limit.
But to me, it's not even that part of it. Market the crap out of it. Yes, we want to sell you all kinds of stuff. You don't know. Absolutely. But when it comes to the decision-making on the ball club, be accountable. That's all.
Yeah, they never are.
It's just that. See, I think they could get away with all the other stuff if when things went bad, they sat there and said, hey, look, you know, we made some mistakes here. We made mistakes. We'll fix it. We'll be all right. I think one of John Henry's shining moments as owner of the Red Sox was when the Theo Larry thing happened in 2005, and Henry sat there and said, when we have this sort of internal dysfunction and strife, it makes me wonder whether I'm fit to be the owner of the Red Sox. I thought that was great. Now, I guess other people kick the crap. Oh, you should never show your weakness. Why not? What? That's honest. Who's invulnerable? Nobody's invulnerable. So, like, I thought that was one of his better moments. Two quick things, okay? First, Trivia Tuesday is next. Tonight's topics, Red Sox GMs and Pedro Martinez. Tonight is the 20th anniversary of Pedro's historic game at Yankee Stadium in 1999, the 17 strikeout game. So I'm just telling you that so you can bone up on your trivia. I tweeted this earlier because we want a winner. Okay, we want a winner. I tweeted this earlier that that's what it was going to be about. Hopefully you've done your research. First five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll have the chance to participate. If you get three questions in a row correct, you will get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's. You will also be entered into a drawing for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority and the travel courtesy of JetBlue. Right now, there are only three people in the drawing. So if you are another winner tonight, you'll have a 25% chance at a trip to Aruba. Again, the contest line, 617-931-0985. You can also call the studio line. I would tell you that if you're on the line on hold to talk about Dombrowski, we're going to resume the conversation tomorrow night. Okay? So if you're here to talk about Dombrowski, ownership, baseball issues, we got to clear the phone board, or we got to clear the board so that we can take calls for trivia. Okay? So you can call the studio line or the contest line. And we're going to play a little memory of that game for you as we go to break. Go ahead, Jimmy.
And 16 of the game twice, both this season. Another 1-2. He struck him out! What a brilliant performance by Pedro Martinez! The career-high 17 strikeouts for Pedro.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on The Baseball
Trivia
Reporter.
Tuesday.
This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
Hey, you know the drill. We take a maximum of five callers, but as soon as someone wins, we're done. If you can get three questions in a row correctly, you'll get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, and you will be entered into a drawing for a three-day trip to Aruba. You'll stay at the Aruba Tamarind. Let me get the name right again. The Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort. I'm sorry. Provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. So we will kick it off tonight with Nick and Drake. He's our first caller, and again, I've decided to give people sort of the themes or the general, you know, scope of the trivia on that on Tuesday nights because you guys just couldn't get any of the questions right. So we're trying to make it easier for you tonight. The topics are Pedro Martinez and Red Sox GMs. Okay, Pedro Martinez and Red Sox GMs. Nick and Drake, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So again, today, September 10th, marks the 20th anniversary of Pedro's historic performance against the Yankees in New York. How many Yankees did Martinez strike out in that game? I just said it in the last segment.
17.
17 is correct. Good job. There you go. That is the correct answer. And again, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, will give us sound effects when you get the question right. Okay? Let's see. Pedro, you know what? I'm gonna make this one a little tougher for you. There were two Yankees who reached base in that game. One of them hit a home run. The other one,
Billy Davis.
Hold on, I didn't ask for that.
Yeah,
I didn't ask for that. One of them hit a home run. Who was the other? And I'll even tell you how he got on base. He got hit by a pitch.
Was it Chuck Knoblauch?
Chuck Knoblauch is correct.
All right. Oh,
good nice. Job. Good job. That is a good one. Excellent. Chuck Knoblauch is correct. Very good. Okay.
All right.
Let me ask the whole question before you answer.
Sure.
Pedro was acquired by the Red Sox from the Montreal Expos in a trade that sent a minor league pitching prospect and a player to be named to Montreal. Who was the player to be named? Not the pitching prospect, the player to be named.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Couldn't be the prospect. Jeez. I have no idea.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to let you go. I'm going to hold on to that question just in case we need it again later in the show.
I wanted to answer it.
So, go ahead, Jimmy, answer it.
Tony Armas Jr.
Tony Armas Jr. is correct. Good job.
Was a right-handed pitcher.
Good job. Steve's in Watertown. He's our second caller. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, name the general manager who traded for Pedro twice. Once as the GM of the Red Sox and once as the GM of the Expos.
I'm going to say Lou Gorman.
Oh, Lou Gorman is incorrect.
Jesus.
Lou Gorman did not. Boy, that was a quickie. Okay, we move on to caller number three, who is Jay in Brookline. Jay, you there?
Yes, Tony, I'm here.
Okay, again, so we asked this question a little while ago. In Pedro's game, two batters reach base. One was a hit by pitch. That was Chuck Knoblauch. This was the other one.
He drills one to deep right. Home run way back into the bleachers.
Who hit the homer?
That would be Paul O'Neill.
Paul O'Neill is incorrect. You know what is stunning about that? Is that the guy, the first caller,
yeah,
said the player's name.
Yeah.
And that guy was on hold and wasn't listening.
Yeah. Are you really that surprised?
Murray, who hit the home run?
Chili Davis.
Chili Davis hit the home run.
Yeah.
Chili Davis hit the home run. Holy crap, he was
That's one, Murray.
He was on hold. You want to know a great stat about Pedro in that game? No. Knoblauch was the leadoff batter. He hit him. On the second pitch after that, the third pitch of the game, Knoblauch was thrown out stealing. Pedro never went into the stretch the rest of the game. He pitched the rest of the game from the windup. There was because the only other hit was the Chili Davis home run. He spent the whole game in the windup after that. Not another Yankee stayed on the bases. Let's go to Josh in Charlton. Josh, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, here you go. How many Cy Youngs did Pedro win as a member of the Red Sox?
One.
One is incorrect.
Wow. Holy crap.
This is like, he's only the most popular pitcher in Red Sox history. Last caller here. See if we can get a winner. Jed, caller number five. I'm sorry, Jerry. Jerry is caller number five in Warwick. Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Here you go. First question. And again, GMs are also a topic. Dave Dombrowski was just fired as the head of Red Sox baseball operations. Whom did Dombrowski replace as the Red Sox GM back in 2015?
Are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
I'm a diehard fan. This is killing me. Oh, no.
Ben Sherrington. Oh my God. I'm telling you, these questions are so easy. Like, I asked all these easy questions tonight. Who was the prospect that was traded for Pedro?
Jeff Suppan.
Nope.
Wasn't it?
Of course, Carl Pavano.
Very good, Jimmy.
That's right.
damn it.
Very good.
Of course, Tony Armas Jr., the son of old center fielder Tony Armas Sr., low ball two.
Okay, that Yankees team that Pedro struck out 17 batters, they ended up winning the World Series. They went 11-1. Who beat them in the playoffs?
Of course, Pedro Martinez did. It was Pedro. Game three against Roger Clemens.
Pedro
low ball three.
That's right. It was a blowout. The game was like 17-1 or 13-1 or something stupid like that. I'll ask you one more just for the hell of it. How about that, Murray? All right.
Yeah.
Who did Pedro throw his? Oh, you know this already. What team did Pedro throw his last pitch for in the 2009 postseason?
Was it the Phillies?
Phillies.
There you
were
go,
gonna,
Jimmy.
Very good, Jimmy.
You were going to say the Mets.
You were going to say the Mets.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.